But I'm going to read 2 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to get off into our study this afternoon. Anybody ready for the word? Anybody ready for the word? All right, listen to this. And so it was, 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? House of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household of Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, "Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble." Someone say trouble. It's a day of trouble. Anybody ever had a day of trouble before in your life? Maybe you're going through a day of trouble right now. So Hezekiah says, "This is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left." Verse 5. So the servants of the king Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to your master, thus saith the Lord, do not be afraid." Touch your neighbor and say, "Don't be afraid." "Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." Verse 8. Then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish, and the king heard concerning Taharqah, king of Ethiopia. "Look, he has come out to make war with you." So he again sent messengers to King Hezekiah. Let me ask you something. Have you ever prayed and got a word of encouragement from the Lord somehow or another, and you rejoiced in that word, and you praised the Lord for that word, but then you woke up the next day and your situation got worse? Have you ever got a word from the Lord, and instead of getting better, your situation got worse? This is what happens to King Hezekiah. Look at verse 10. "Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gozan and Haran and Rezah and the people of Eden who were in Tel Azar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Zarephim, Hena and Iva?" So he's saying, man, we've destroyed everybody. Where are they at? They ain't here no more. Verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hands of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Look at what he does with this letter from the enemy. Verse 15. Then Hezekiah prayed. Someone say prayed. He prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone are all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open up your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray." Someone say, "I pray." "I pray, save us from this hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone." And then the last verse, verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me." Don't you get this word? Because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Because you prayed to me. Because you prayed to me. Because you prayed to me. Because you prayed. Because you prayed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we ask for understanding of your word. Teach us your word. Strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, today we're starting a new series for all the month of October, and it's called Battle Prayer. Someone say battle prayer. We are going to teach you how to do battle through prayer. More specifically, we're going to teach you how to gain the victory in your life through the power of prayer. How many know that life is full of battles at times, right? And battles, depending upon if you win them or lose them, can determine the quality of your next season in life. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of losing battles. I want to win. I want to win. Anybody want to win in here today? I want to win some battles. I'm tired of taking 3 steps forward and 5 steps back. The next time the enemy comes against me to steal my joy, to steal my faith, or to rob me of my connection to the Lord, I want to win that battle. My prayer for you is to win your battle that the enemy tries to engage with you and in you, and I want you to win some battles. Now, for the next couple weeks, we're going to be dealing with 2 Kings chapter 19, and I want to encourage you to take that and make that chapter your devotion this week, because we're going to come back to it for a couple weeks, and we need to learn what Hezekiah teaches us about winning a particular battle. Now, the major players in this story are King Hezekiah, who is the king of God's people, Judah and Israel, and he is, you know, the king of God's people, and the enemy of God's people is a king by the name of Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria. Everybody say Assyria. Assyria was a terrible, terrible nation, and they were steamrolling over the nations that were around them. And when you study history, you'll learn that Assyria was one of the most brutal nations in all of history. They didn't just kill you, they humiliated you, and they tortured you, and they took you out of your family and your land, and they just messed you up entirely. And so now They're steamrolling across the land, and they're killing nation after nation. And at this particular time, they turn their focus to King Hezekiah, and they basically send him a message. They send him an email, and he says, "Listen, we already destroyed this nation, and we destroyed that nation, and now we're coming for you, and we're going to destroy you. We're going to destroy you, and so you might as well come out with your hands up, and you might as well surrender." And so this threat by the enemy caused Hezekiah to be shaken up. It caused Hezekiah to kind of be filled up with fear. But he does something that most people don't do when they're confronted by the enemy. He does something so powerful that we want to learn today. He actually does 3 turns. He does 3 turns that we want to explore today. And the key word for today is the word turn. Someone say turn. I want to teach you, Hezekiah is going to teach us where to turn to when we find ourselves in trouble. In fact, I want to suggest to you, the big idea for today is this. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Where, what, and who you turn to in your day of trouble will determine your victory or defeat. I'm going to say that again. Where, what, and who you turn to in your trouble will determine your victory or defeat. And we want to learn from Hezekiah where he turned to, who he turned to, and what he turned to, so that we can secure the victory in our battles. And so I want you to do me a favor. Touch your neighbor and say, "You better turn the right way." Better turn the right way. You better turn. You better make the right turn. Better make the right turn. Make the right turn. Number one. Someone say number one. Number one, Hezekiah turned to the house of the Lord. He turned to the house of the Lord. In verse 1, it says, Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord. And we need to talk about this for a second. We need to pause and think about this for a second, because this is a critical critical decision that he makes in the day of his trouble, because most people don't turn to the house of the Lord when they're stressed out. See, the role of the enemy when he goes to attack you is to get you out of your flow, is to get you out of your groove, is to get you out of what God is trying to do. And so the enemy wants to take you away from where God is moving, take you away from where God is operating, take you away from the body of Christ. And the enemy comes, and part of his attack is to separate you from the house of the Lord. Typically, he does it through guilt, and he does it through shame, and he does it through intimidation. But Hezekiah didn't allow the enemy to mess up his flow. Hezekiah didn't allow the enemy to disconnect him from the house of the Lord. Now, generally, a lot of people, when they find themselves in trouble, they go to the bar. I know not none of y'all been to the bar before, right? Just keep looking at me, right? When people get in trouble, they run to the club, or they run to a backyard boogie, or they run to some other place. But I want to suggest to you this afternoon that if you run to the wrong place, be careful where you go in your day of trouble. I want to challenge you. Be careful where you go, because the environment you go to will either feed your faith or weaken your faith. You go to the wrong environment, it will feed your fear. It will feed your doubts. If you go to the wrong environment, it'll feed your anxiety. If you go to the wrong environment in the day of trouble, it'll make you worse instead of better. Be careful where you go to in your day of trouble. Psalms 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. And Hezekiah didn't fall for the trick of the enemy. He gets threatened. He gets moved by fear. And he turns around and says, I know where I'm going. 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 I'm going to the house of the Lord. Going to the house of the Lord. The strategy of the enemy when he comes to attack you is to separate you and to divide you. Because he knows that if you can just get to the house of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will stitch you up, strengthen you, empower you. See, there's many things that happens when we come to the house of the Lord. This is why the enemy doesn't want you to come to the house of the Lord when you mess up. Because he knows when you come to the house of the Lord, what happens is, one of the things that happens is your faith gets strengthened. Your faith gets strengthened. In fact, the Bible says this is our victory over the world, even our faith. And when you come to the environment of worship and you come to the environment of praise and you sit up underneath the word of God, your faith gets strengthened in order to beat up the enemy that tries to attack you. Your faith gets strengthened. Have you ever walked out of church feeling like Superman or Superwoman? Because there's something spiritually dynamic that takes place when you open yourself up to worship, open yourself up to the word of God, open yourself up to the connection of the saints. Strengthens your faith. It also fixes your focus. When you come to the house of the Lord, sometimes throughout the week, we lose our focus. Sometimes throughout the week, the enemy gets us to focus on the wrong thing. And when you focus on the wrong thing, you become the wrong thing. When you come to the house of the Lord, you get up underneath the worship, you engage in the worship, you get up underneath the word of God, you connect to the saints of God. He aligns your focus on what matters. And you realize, man, I've been tripping over something that really didn't matter. I'm fighting little things that really don't matter. Let me align my focus back up to God. When you come to the house of the Lord, it aligns your focus. And it helps you get that eternal perspective where the enemy don't take you down with every little thing. Let me tell you another thing that it does. Not only does it strengthen your faith and it fixes your focus, but it when you come to the house of the Lord, it causes you to spiritually grow. It causes you to grow. We grow. When we're together, you're up underneath the word, you're fellowshipping with the brothers and sisters, you're worshiping the Lord, there's something that takes place in our spirit. It causes us to spiritually grow. And I was thinking about this the other night, and the Lord gave me a word that I want to share with you today. You know what the Lord put in my heart on Friday night? He says, you know what? Most people want me to take away their trouble. Most people want me to take away their trouble when I'm expecting them to grow out of their trouble. I'm expecting them to grow out of their trouble. You see, God, one of the, and I don't know who this is for, right? It may be for one person here. It may be for everybody here. But listen, God is done giving you 5 minutes of freedom. I don't know who that's for. God is done giving you 5 minutes of freedom, and then you going back and getting entangled with whatever you getting entangled with. You know what he's telling us now? He's telling, listen, I need you to grow up out of your trouble. Grow up out of your problem. See, the reason why we keep falling in the same sin over and over again is because we're not growing up. And God is telling us, listen, I want you to grow up so that the next time the devil comes and tries to put that shirt of sin back on you, or that shirt of lust back on you, or that shirt of anger back on you, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. I got little kids, 9 years old, 8 years old, 4 years old, and they costing me some money because I'm trying to put clothes on them. But those shirts don't fit. They're not fitting. I can't put them on. And that's how God wants us to be when it comes to the enemy. He's going to come back and try that put that shirt of sin back on you. He's going to try to come back and put that shirt of lust or alcoholism or addiction. He's going to try to put it back. But God wants to say, when he tries to put it back, oh, man, something happened with that sister. It doesn't fit no more. Something happened with that brother. This doesn't fit anymore. Oh, let me go to the next person, because there's lots of people that are not growing because she's growing, and therefore I can't put it on. That's what happens when you come to the house of the Lord. You grow spiritually. So Hezekiah, he turns to the house of the Lord, but there's a second turn that he does. Hezekiah turns to prayer. Someone say prayer. He turns to prayer. In verse 1 it says, then Hezekiah prayed. Then Hezekiah prayed. In fact, that's 15. But I want you to notice that Hezekiah's first response was prayer. Someone say prayer. Now, this is very important because most people's first response is not prayer. Most people, they turn to anger. When trouble happens in their life, when something goes wrong in their life, most people turn to gossip, or they turn to alcohol, or, you know, they turn to bitterness, or they turn to unforgiveness, but not Hezekiah. Listen to this. Hezekiah knew not just where to turn to, but he knew what to turn to. He knew what to turn to. See, in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Let them pray. Let them pray. So Hezekiah, he doesn't just go to the house of the Lord, but he goes to the house of the Lord with a particular mission, and the particular mission is to pray. I want you to follow along, because if the devil can't stop you, he'll distract you. And if the enemy can't stop you from coming to the house of the Lord, he'll distract you while you're here, so that you're here, but you're not here. Ooh, you didn't catch that right there. Hezekiah, he comes to the house of the Lord, but he doesn't just come to the house of the Lord for anything. He comes to the house of the Lord to what? To pray. So many people come to the house of the Lord, but they get distracted in the house of the Lord that they never end up at the altar with their face before God. So many people, they come to the house of the Lord. They beat the enemy just to get to the house of the Lord because it's a testimony of itself. But if the enemy can't stop us, he'll distract us. And so some of us, we come to that house of the Lord just to complain. Some of us come to the house of the Lord to point the finger on what's not right or what's not wrong. Some of us come to the house of the Lord, to point the finger, to complain. Don't be here, but not here. If you're going to come to the house of the Lord, come on with a mission. I'm going to come to connect to God through prayer, and I don't care if nobody hugs me or don't hug me. I don't care if nobody encourages me or don't encourage me. I don't care who's preaching or who's not preaching. I'm going to connect to God through prayer. I come, my trouble is way too big for me to be messing around with people who really don't care about me anyways. I come to connect with God. And that's what Hezekiah does. He prays. Now, let me remind you what prayer is. Let me remind you. I'm going to give you this definition to think about all month long. Prayer is co-laboring with God to help manifest his will on earth. Prayer is co-laboring with God to help manifest his will on earth. Let me remind you, there are two sides to God's will. There's one side to God's will that is going to happen no matter what. God's not asking your vote. He's not asking for your favor. He's not asking you to talk about it. He's going to do it because he said he's going to do it. That's one side of God's will. There's another side to God's will that is his desire to happen, but he has chosen prayer to help manifest it or help make it happen. Are you following along? There's one side that's going to happen no matter what. No matter what you do, no matter what they say. He's not asking you to vote on it. He's not asking you nothing. It's going to happen because he said it's going to happen. There's another side to God's will where it's his desire to happen, but he has chosen believers to pray to help manifest that part of his will on the earth today. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Because, listen, this is very, very important. This is very, very, very powerful because I am convinced that many of us are going to go to heaven and we're going to see a lot of things that we should have experienced on earth, but we didn't. And it's going to be not a good day. We're going to see a lot of things, I'm convinced, that we should have experienced on earth, but we didn't, and they're going to have tags on it. Did not pray. 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 The Lord says, we are to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, my brothers and sisters, this month, our desire as a church is to up our prayer life, is to increase our prayer life. This month, we're going to challenge you to pray like no other. We're going to challenge you to get down on your face before God. We're going to challenge you to cry out to the Lord with all your heart. And to help you do this, what we did was we launched over 30 prayer stations. We launched throughout the week, we launched over 30 prayer stations. So we have prayer stations from Orange County to San Pedro to Whittier. And there's probably a prayer station every night of the week where you can go with some brothers and sisters after work and you can pray for 1 hour. We launched 30 prayer stations, over 30. I want to show you a couple pictures of them. We launched a couple in the city of Carson. This is one in the city of Carson on Monday nights. They are praying. I launched one on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. right here for men. We are praying on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. My wife has a prayer station on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. for women right here. And then this one that we launched, this is in the port of Los Angeles. And it's at a conference office. And this is what you call in the kingdom of God, eminent domain. You know what that is? This is what you call commandeering space for the kingdom of God. We know that's a business office, but the kingdom of God is taking over. And our sisters there are praying that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right there on the port. And we got prayer stations. We got prayer stations right here on Monday nights. Our deaf family have prayer station on Thursday at 6 p.m. I saw pictures of them praying on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Listen, there should be no excuse. I saw a picture of a prayer station at the Korean Bell on the hill in San Pedro on Saturday morning. They up on the hill praying. Saturday mornings you can go to. 8 a.m. Thank you. We want to challenge you to pray. Pray when you get up in the morning. Pray before you eat your breakfast. Pray when you drop your kids off of school. Pray when you go to work. Pray when you go to school. Pray when you leave your work. Pray when you go back home. Pray when you eat your dinner. If you're married, I want to challenge you to shock your spouse and say, let's pray. If you got kids, I want you to grab their hands and say, let's pray. We're encouraging you to pray. Pray. Someone say pray. We're encouraging you to pray. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody on the cell phone, right? And you had a conversation with them, and they said goodbye, but they didn't hang up? Have you ever had a conversation where you're talking, and you say, okay, goodbye, goodbye, and they say goodbye, and you go to put it on your pocket, but then you hear them talking? And they're, like, talking to their husband or somebody, right? And you're like, oh, wow, I wonder what. And you're tempted to nose drop because we're nosy. Nose drop. Help me, somebody. But in a similar way, God doesn't ever want you to hang up the phone. Doesn't want you to hang up the phone. In fact, 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And we're challenging the church to pray, to pray, to pray. Now notice Hezekiah prays and God answers in verse 20. But notice what he says. He says, because you prayed to me, I've heard. Because you prayed, I heard. Because you prayed, I heard. Not because you complained, right? Not because you complained. Not because you got mad. Not because you got emotional, but because you prayed. Not because you threw a tantrum, but because you prayed. No, notice, God responded to prayer. He said, because you prayed. Listen, God wants to do more in your life, but he's waiting for you to up your prayer life. He wants to do more in your marriage, but he's waiting for you to pray more. He wants to do more in your kids' life, but he's waiting for you to pray more. He wants to do more in your community, but he's waiting for you to pray more. Did you know that God could do more in the White House through the church house if the church just started praying? That's a word off the Holy Ghost right there. That even rhymed. Did you know? I'm going to say that again. Did you know God could do more in the White House through the church house if the church just started praying? My brothers and sisters, if we could, can I talk like family for a second? I think, now we're a diverse church. We're a diverse church. We got people from all different spectrums, right? But what I want to kind of give you some like pastoral counseling about is let us not get caught up in the drama. Let us not get caught up in the drama. Don't let our hearts get caught up in the drama. Listen, the world is going to be the world. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Hear me. It's going to get worse. And if the enemy can't stop us, he'll try to suck us into the darkness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so my pastoral counseling to you is don't get overly whelmed up and riled up and ticked up by the world, because the world's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And God says you can't fix nothing by complaining. You can't fix nothing if you get mad, as angry as the next person. But you could change something if you pray. But you can change something if you pray. So Hezekiah, he prays. And then the last one, here's the last turn that he makes. It's Hezekiah, turn to God. Turn to God. I want you to notice in verse 20, notice this. He says, because you prayed to me, he does not say, just say, because you prayed. I want you to notice something in the text, in that verse. He does not just say, because you prayed. You know what he says? He says, because you prayed to me. Get this. Because you prayed to me. Because you called out to me. Because you ran to me. Because you dialed my number. You dialed my number. Because you ran to me. Because you crawled to me. Because you looked to me. I want you to get this. He doesn't just say, because you prayed and that's it. No, he says, because you prayed to me. And I was thinking about this because I sensed that God got excited that he said, man, Hezekiah, you prayed to me. You prayed to me. You could have called anybody you wanted to call. You're king. You got connections, right? You got resources. You could have called anybody you wanted to call, but you called me. And I sense that God got excited about that. And one of the things I want us to kind of think about is that in the day of trouble, in our days of trouble, everybody prays to something. In our day of trouble, everybody prays to something because prayer is a form of petition. So when everybody in your day of trouble, you pray. When you turn to alcohol in your day of trouble, you know what you're doing? You're praying to that bottle. When you turn to old English on the day of trouble, you're praying to that bottle. You're saying, bottle, help me out. Take away my pain. When you turn to the club, you get frustrated, you get mad, and your friend says, oh, why don't you just go party, and let's just go party and forget about your problems. You know, you're praying to that club. You're saying, well, take away my problems. Help me to forget about my problems. So every time we're in trouble, we pray to someone or something. Some of y'all go shopping when you're in trouble. You pull out the credit card, and you go to the mall, and you be praying to that mall. And said, make me feel better. And you feel better. You do feel better a little bit. When you come out that credit card, it make you feel a little bit better. Some of us, we turn to food. Food, make me feel better. I'm turning to this food. Make me feel better. God got excited that Hezekiah turned to him. He gets excited when you turn to him. Stop calling your friend when your day is wrong. Stop calling your friend when things go wrong. Stop posting on Facebook when things go wrong in your life. Stop posting on Facebook like Facebook can help you out. Facebook is not a person. Oh, man, this is from the word Lord, I think, right now. Listen, I'm going to say it again. Facebook is not a person. It's not a person. Ain't nobody going to jump out of that computer screen and hug you or pay your rent. God is waiting for us to turn to him. In fact, in Psalms, God says, call out to me in your day of trouble. Call out to me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. I'll deliver you. Now listen, as I wrap this up, turning to God, what does it mean to turn to God? Turning to God includes following his instructions. When we turn to God, we're following his instructions. You know that Jesus turned around and he rebuked some people that were following him one time. He turned around and he said, why you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say? Jesus turned around. That's what you, back in the days, what you call a chin check. They were following Jesus, trying to come up. They were trying to get, you know, their bills paid and trying to get some food. And Jesus turned around and said, why you call me Lord, but don't do what I say? What part of the game is that? So turning to God is following his instructions. It's not saying a prayer and that's it. It's picking up your cross and following God and choosing to do what he says to do in your situation. There's some people right now, you need to cut off a relationship in your life because it's draining you and it's causing you to sin. And you're in this middle. What should I do? What should I do? Should I stay with him or should I stay with her? Or should I follow God? Well, if you're going to turn to God, turning to God is not just saying a prayer in your little situation. Turning to God is following his instructions. It's doing what he says to do. It's not that complicated. God says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be your father. Turn to me. Turn to me. It's following his instructions. The last verse that I'm going to share as I close is in Hebrews. It's in Hebrews. He says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Anybody need mercy today? Maybe you messed up. Maybe you're guilty. Mercy is here for you. Anybody need grace? Anybody feeling weak? Grace is God's enabling power. Anybody feel confused? You don't know what to do? Grace is God's enabling power. It's here today to give to you if you turn to God. God will give you his mercy and he'll give you his grace. I remember when I was in prison, one time they put me in a dorm that had about 300 people in it. And they put my bunk right kind of in front of the TV, right? And directly kind of in line with the TV. And they would watch TV all day long. They would watch TV all day long. So I was there laying in my bunk and I was forced to watch TV all day long. And it was loud. And there was blaring. The TVs were blaring. And they would, one of the things they would watch all the time was NASCAR. NASCAR. Anybody watch NASCAR before? I always wonder who watches NASCAR, right? Who watches NASCAR? And so I was forced to watch NASCAR, and they would race around in circles, right? They would race around in circles, and I didn't know the details of NASCAR. I don't know the rules of NASCAR. All I thought was it was a race, and to me, the fastest person in the race wins. And so here I am from a distance sitting on my bunk, and I'm looking at NASCAR. I'm being forced to look at NASCAR, and I'm noticing from a distance that every now and then a car would stop. It would stop. And I would lay on my bunk and I would see, and another car would stop. And it would go. And about, you know, 5 minutes later, the car would stop again. About 15 minutes later, the car would stop again. And I began to get frustrated because I thought in a race, you're supposed to not stop. And so one day I got up out of my bunk and I went up to underneath the TV. I went up underneath the TV to look. And I noticed that when the car stopped, about 5 guys jumped out and started to change the tires of the car, started to put fuel back into the car, started to wipe the windshield of the car, started to check the engine of the car, started to put the oil back into the car. And then after about 60 seconds, they would tap the car and the car would go back into the race. My brothers and sisters, every time we turn to the house of the Lord, we turn to prayer, we turn to God, the Holy Spirit jumps on us and he strengthens us. He refuels us. He helps us. And listen, he strengthens our faith. He refuels us. And the Bible teaches that the race is not to the swift nor the fast, but to those who endure to the end. So I don't care. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. Every now and then, you got to turn back to the house of the Lord. You got to turn back to prayer. You got to regular turn to the house of the Lord. You got to regular turn to prayer. You got to regularly turn to God so that you can receive the power and the strength and the energy and the focus that you need to finish this race. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed. As the worship team comes back up, just for a couple minutes or moments, I would like us to reflect on the Word of God. What did the Lord tell you? And how are you going to apply it to your life? Just for a couple moments, let's reflect upon the Word. Thank you.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe someone's in here who drifted away from the Lord and you need to turn back to God. Maybe there's someone in here who needs to turn back to God. Maybe there's someone in here who has never surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you need to turn back to God, or you need to surrender to the Lord for the first time, I want to pray with you right where you're at. And I'm going to just ask that you just stand up on your feet and I'll pray with you right where you're at. If there's anybody here who needs to surrender to Jesus for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord, stand up on your feet and I'll pray with you. Hallelujah, I see you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see you. You need to surrender to the Lord. Repent from your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Anybody else? You know what? I'm going to call you guys up to the front. If you stood up, come to the altar. I want to pray with you at the altar. Anybody who stood up, come to the altar. I want to just pray with you guys right here. Anybody who needs to surrender to the Lord, come to the altar. I want to pray with you. We're going to surrender to the Lord together. Come to the altar. Anybody else who needs to surrender to the Lord, come to the altar. Come to the altar. Anybody else? Anybody else needs to surrender to the Lord? Come to the altar right now. We'll wait a couple moments. Anybody else? If God is pulling on your heart, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Come up to the front. You want to surrender to the Lord. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to follow after Jesus. Anybody in the balcony, if you want to come down, make your way down. God is building an army in this generation of broken people, of people who will give the pieces of their life back to Him. And He's healing us. For those of you, anybody else, come down. One more opportunity. Anybody else? For those of you who came up to the altar, I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender. I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender, and then we're going to pray with you that God strengthen you. Are you ready to surrender to the Lord, bro? Are you ready to surrender to the Lord? Are you ready to surrender to the Lord, sister? Are you ready to surrender to the Lord? Are you ready to surrender to the Lord? Are you ready? Are you ready to surrender to the Lord? You ready to surrender to the Lord? Everything? Everything. 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 Your dreams, your desires, everything. Are you ready to surrender to the Lord? Everything. Your dreams, your desire, everything. He wants it all. He wants it all. He wants it all. Are you ready to surrender to the Lord? You ready? Oh, okay, you ready? Listen, God wants all your dreams and your desires. This is for you. This is for you. He wants all your dreams and all your desires. He wants it all. Don't hold back nothing. Don't hold back nothing. Don't hold back nothing. Don't hold back. God knows what you need more than you know what you need. God knows what you need more than you know what you need. Don't hold back nothing. Don't hold back nothing. Don't hold back nothing. God can take care of you. Don't hold back nothing. God can take care of you. Don't hold back nothing. Are you ready to surrender to the Lord? I want to ask you, you just say this prayer with me from your heart. Lord God, I am sorry. I messed up. I turned away from you. But today, I turn back to you. I surrender to you. Today, I surrender my hopes. I surrender my dreams. I surrender my desires to you, Lord. I give them to you. Take them. And Lord, I believe that you are Savior and that you are King. And I commit to following you all the days of my life. Whether it's good days, whether it's bad days, I commit to following you. In Jesus' name, I surrender. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Father, I pray that you strengthen them. I pray that you encourage them, Lord God. I pray that you steer them up, Father God, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, that you strengthen their faith, Father God, in Jesus' name. Fill them with your Holy Ghost, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Draw them closer to you in Jesus' name, Father God. Break out in their life, Lord. Break out in their life in Jesus' name. Help them, Lord. Amen.